Hey, I'm Kate, and in the studio with me today is Rachel Walker with Stop Violence Against Women Coordinating Committee for Perth County. Rachel, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
November is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and lots of people don't know what goes on behind closed doors, and even in our wonderful community, violence still happens. So Rachel, you're here to shed light on domestic violence in Perth County.
There are many types of abuse that can occur within a domestic violence relationship, and I really encourage listeners to go and research this yourself, but I will give a shortened list, which is physical, emotional violence, there's sexual and financial violence, and there's also psychological and spiritual abuse, all that can occur within these dynamics.
And I mean, a lot of people don't know that there are that many types of abuse or types of domestic violence, especially not going on in our community, right? So StopVAW is a great resource for people in our community who are experiencing types of domestic violence.
That's correct, yeah. One definition I did want to throw out there, only because this one aspect is tied to all forms of domestic violence, is coercive control. So coercive control, by definition, is an act or a pattern of acts of assault, threats, humiliation, and intimidation, or other abuse that is used to harm, punish, or frighten the victim. There's one tactic, actually. So this is super common with offenders or abusers, is this Darvo tactic. It's kind of taken off on social media. More people are becoming aware of this. But Darvo, it stands for deny, attack the victim, and reverse the victim and offender roles. So they will essentially deny any of their own wrongdoing, and they will attack the victim in an attempt to discredit the victim's claims, and then they will reverse the victim and offender roles so that they are now the victim. They're being attacked. They need empathy. They need support to further silence their victim.
So what does StopVAW or Stop Violence Against Women do for Perth County and in our community?
So there's a lot of great professionals in this sector that are working towards change for other victims of domestic violence. There is a group of women that is a survivor advisory board, and what we do is we work with first responders and other resources trying to create change and trying to see how we can make the path a little smoother for the victims behind us. If you want to be part of their survivor advisory board, the best thing you can do is contact the Optimism Place. But in terms of victims, there are resources such as domesticshelters.org, which is an online space that you can search for shelters or other resources out there that can help you out of your situation. There's ShelterLink that is geared towards people who are between the ages of 16 and 24. And then there's also just simply telling your doctor what is happening or calling a local shelter when it is safe to do so. Those are great resources that can help start the momentum of escaping domestic violence. A lot of people don't know this fact, but it takes a woman on average 7 times to leave an abuser. And that is, there's a multitude of reasons that happens. One big one is because of the manipulation that the abuser will do to the victim. Mm-hmm. And or there really is nowhere else for the victim to safely go. No tangible, real place for them to seek shelter, which is another reason why it's very important to support your local women's shelter so that they can continue their mission to support these vulnerable members of our society.
Domestic violence is something that it kind of traps you, right? You're in it, but sometimes you really don't know that you're in it. What are the signs of domestic violence for people who might be listening and who might be experiencing it, or if they know somebody who's experiencing it?
Yes. Yeah, so I've actually written a list of signs to look for if you personally believe that you could be experiencing domestic violence. You could ask yourself these questions. Does your partner have a bad temper? Is there physical aggression in the home? For example, slamming doors, cupboards, throwing objects, etc. Is their behavior very unpredictable? Is your partner cruel to animals? Are they extremely jealous or controlling? Do they gaslight you often? Do they isolate you from going to work or seeing your friends and family? These are all major signs of domestic violence. If you do know someone that you believe could be experiencing domestic violence, you can ask yourself these questions as well. Did your friend or family member stop coming to events? Is there a sudden personality change? Have you noticed them making quote-unquote poor decisions? This could actually be tied to someone that is trying to survive a pretty grim experience. Have they had sudden changes in plans, etc.? These are all, again, signs that someone is experiencing domestic violence. So there is definitely a cycle when it comes to domestic violence, and I will explain the cycle. So usually it will start with some sort of tension building. The abuser will create tension and the victim's stress builds. This is referred to the walking on eggshells kind of stage.
Mm-hmm.
Then there comes the incident. The abuser will lash out through physical, verbal, sexual, or psychological tactics to take control of the victim or the situation. And then next comes the reconciliation. The abuser will make excuses or fake promises or apologies, which is an attempt to gaslight and minimize the abuse.
Right. And so if that happens over and over and over again, that's the cycle.
Yes. Yeah. Eventually, after the reconciliation, there's a calm phase where an abuser will be in best behavior mode and things seem to be very peaceful. And this is where a victim usually thinks that they maybe are making a big deal out of nothing, or it's not as bad as they think. Mm-hmm. And this is really, in reality, you're gaslighting yourself.
Thinking you're in the clear, thinking, yes. Oh, maybe it wasn't as bad as I thought.
That's right.
And
then the cycle begins again,
right.
Essentially.
Yeah.
This is one aspect of domestic violence that isn't really talked about, is when you're in a domestic violence situation, the abuser makes it so that they are your only sense of safety. They have cut you off and isolated you from your real support system, from your family and friends and or job, so that they are the end all and be all. So then that creates this false sense of safety, which in turn, then the victim wants to continue protecting that sense of safety because it's all they have. They, you know, if, for instance, in a domestic violence police call, I know I have said, you know, please don't arrest him. It's okay. I was wrong. You know, I did the wrong thing, you know, when in reality, something very serious just happened to me. And I was so brainwashed and so manipulated into believing this was my fault, that I caused this. So, you know, why should we bother the police kind of thing, even though I really needed some help,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's very tricky to talk about the manipulation too, and to try and get others to understand this is actually what is happening behind closed doors. When I try to describe or educate about domestic violence, I like to describe it in this metaphorical way. I'd like you to picture a circle in front of you and picture a metaphorical carrot dangling. That circle is the cycle of abuse. Abusers will do whatever they need to keep their victim in that cycle. So whatever that tactic they need to do to keep the victim in that cycle, they will dangle this metaphorical carrot in front of the victim because they know what their victim is hoping for. They know their victim. And so they will do whatever they need to do to get them back into that circle, back into that cycle of violence and abuse.
So in Stratford, in our wonderful community, I mean, Stratford's a great place to live, but you would never think that in a community like ours, domestic violence is a problem. Right? But there's evidence to show otherwise?
Yes. So recently, earlier in this year, the city of Stratford declared violence against women an epidemic within our community. And by definition, an epidemic is a widespread occurrence of an infectious disease in a community at a particular time. So I think that really speaks to what a serious issue is upon us and how seriously we need to take this.
Mm-hmm. And it's way closer to home than any of us thought. And Rachel, you are on the Stop Violence Against Women Coordinating Committee for Perth County. And under that, you're part of the Survivor Advisory Board for Perth County. So this is something that you've lived through, and now you are sharing your experience with people and you're trying to make a difference in our community.
That's correct. Yes, I became a survivor a couple years ago. I ran away from a domestic violence situation with young children and began advocating pretty much right away. Which brings me here, trying to shed light on this topic, but also give other victims who might still be trapped in these situations, giving them a little bit of hope, mm-hmm. letting them know that they can make it out of this kind of violence.
Domestic violence, it is a trap, and it feels like a trap. It is hard to escape, but Domestic Violence Awareness Month, it shows you that there is hope and there is possibility of mm-hmm. escape.
That's correct. There are a lot of people that are back to that metaphorical circle or cage, I like to refer it as well. There are a lot of people that are trapped in these cycles and they feel like there's no end to it or there's no escape, because that's essentially what victims have to do, is they can't just simply leave these kinds of situations. They have to escape. So for the victim, there's numerous steps that you can take in escaping domestic violence. One of the first steps is just simply acknowledging what is happening to you. And I want to personally put this in there, knowing that this isn't your fault. I want other victims to know that this is not your fault. But acknowledge that this is happening and you do have the power. Even if you feel absolutely powerless, you do have some sort of power to get out. And one part of that power is knowing what to do. So I do have a list here of steps that I'd love to put out there, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
So one of the other steps, of course, aside from acknowledging what is happening to you, is learn about safety planning. Which includes knowing the abuser's red flags, identify safe areas in your home, know where to go in case of an attack, and if possible, head to a room with an outdoor exit or phone. That will be the safest place. Tell someone what is happening to you. Tell someone you trust with your life, and come up with a code word or a phrase in case of a dangerous situation. Create an escape plan. So this is a little bit different. This is when you're about to take action in your escape. So one thing I recommend for other victims is to have an emergency stash of cash, and to have, you know, your keys easily accessible. Pack a go bag, which could include clothes, emergency contact information, and important documents or ID. You know your abuser and you can learn their pattern and warning signs. You, the victim, will know when it is safe to escape. And knowing that there are people on the other side that are there to help you will be a very powerful tool in your escape.
So if you think you know somebody who might be experiencing domestic violence, and I mean, you don't want to push, but as a bystander, you feel like you have that responsibility to intervene. Mm-hmm. Can we talk about bystander intervention a little bit?
Yes, absolutely. So there are different ways a bystander can become involved. When it comes to an immediate domestic violence situation, you should ask yourself, is it safe for me to become involved? And there are actually, there's a little bit of an acronym here. There's 4 D's in being a bystander, the 4 D's of bystander intervention. So the first one is direct. Can you take direct action? Could you tell the offender to stop and or ask the victim if they're okay? The next one is to distract the perpetrator so that the victim can get away safely. Another one is delegate, which if you can't distract or even intervene at all, have someone else step in. For instance, you can call the police. And delay. Delaying is a very important one. If it's too dangerous to step in, you can check in on the victim when it is safe to do so, to offer support. Aside from that, if you know of someone who could potentially be trapped in a domestic violence situation, first knowing and educating yourself about domestic violence can be very helpful to that victim. Know that for the victim to escape and right after separation, that can be the most dangerous time for that victim. So knowing also when is it safe for me to reach out to the victim to offer support, because for some that can be life and death. So it's very important to educate yourself on when it is safe to help as a bystander.
For Domestic Violence Awareness Month for November, how do we spread awareness, like actually spread awareness, and how do we observe the month and embrace it and try to spread awareness of domestic violence in our community?
So the one thing I've learned as a victim survivor advocate is that you can spread awareness all you want, The only real end to domestic violence is consequences for the offenders. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really where we, aside from supporting your local survivor, we really need to work on calling out our, you know, that uncle that's abusive, or that father that treats your mother not so kindly. You know, we really need to work on holding these offenders accountable, because that's really where we're going to see a decline in these numbers. You don't have to share what happened to you to be valid. Your pain and your suffering and what you just endured is still valid, even if you haven't told a single soul.
Absolutely.
You know, one thing I really wish people within the general public could understand is you can support someone who is experiencing domestic violence just by saying that you believe that person. That is a huge, important key part of validation for survivors, is just having someone believe them.
You know? Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. As November goes on and Domestic Violence Awareness Month goes on, you can also share on social media. I know that's not the biggest way to spread awareness. I mean, social media is huge for spreading awareness, and social media is a great tool to use. It's a great resource to use for spreading awareness for this type of thing. And I understand that you have hashtags that you've made. And
yes. So I do have a couple pages on, I have a page on Instagram and I do have a page on TikTok. It's at That Domestic Violence Advocate. And I've created the hashtags Rip Before Rip, as in Rip Before Rest in Peace, and Rip Open the Doors of Domestic Violence, just in the hopes of encouraging others to escape their situations if they can, but also just shedding light and sharing knowledge and information on this very important subject that a lot of people just seem to dismiss. So,
yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for bringing all of this important information to light and spreading awareness during Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Rachel Walker with Stop Violence Against Women Coordinating Committee for Perth County and the Survivor Advisory Board for Perth County. It was so nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. And I appreciate the opportunity.
I really appreciate you coming in and, you know, teaching us and educating all of us about this topic. Mm-hmm.